Welcome to Fish Unfiltered, presented by MPT College Consulting. It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, just over a week away from the Marlins season opener. My name is Isaac Azud, joined today by Mr. Eli Sussman. Kevin Burrell is out, probably covering some sort of FIU athletic endeavor, but we have a very special guest here today, Mr. Craig Mish. Craig, it's not your first time joining us. We really appreciate the time as always. How's it going?
Wow, what timing. A lot happening in Marlins land here. Ironically, nothing on the field, right? Like, I mean, I guess there's some topics on the field to get to. I feel like when it's the non-field topics, that's when you call me in. That's when I get called in to talk about everything that's going on. But, I mean, you guys have done a fantastic job this spring. You know, like, I am checking all of your guys' accounts every day when I have time to see, like, what's happening. And I mean, you guys have been like just doing a phenomenal job doing it. It's like, I in one part, it like reminds me, I hate to sound old, of when I was young and like so hungry and wanting to be there and do it every day. But I feel like I'm sort of doing it through you guys. So you guys definitely deserve a round of applause as we come to the end of spring training. It's been cool every day, not being on and then just like popping on and just seeing what you guys have to say. And I feel like at that point, I'm kind of caught up on the day.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay. The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We appreciate the words, Craig. And to be fair, we did ask you to come on before this Jazz stuff dropped. We'll get to that in a little bit. But let's talk about who's going to be on the mound in 2024 and who won't be. Is Craig, at least 3/5 of the start of the projected starting rotation will start the season on the IL. The most prominent one you see on the screen, Mr. Yuri Perez. He left his last spring start with discomfort in his right middle finger, and he later complained of right elbow soreness. Not exactly what you want. He was scheduled to see Dr. Keith Meister, the orthopedic surgeon that performed on Sandy Alcantara's right arm. Is this going to be as bad as it seems, Mr. Craig?
Well, look, I mean, we have to let the entire process play out. Again, this comes down in the end to the player's decision as to what they want to do. We've seen this go a lot of different ways. I don't know Gerrit Cole's situation, but reading into that a little bit, my guess is that could have gone either way. Justin Verlander, you may remember a couple of years ago, he, I think, held off for a while, and then he ended up having the surgery. And so, you know, Sandy Alcantara is another good example. If you know, we're speaking clearly here, I mean, it was pretty evident, I think, early on that when Sandy got checked out, that he was going to have the surgery, but Sandy did not want to miss the postseason. He wanted to try to get back and kind of felt like the season, if he was going to have the surgery, would have cost him anyway. So he delayed it. And I don't know where that is in terms of that conversation. I think over the next day or two, we'll probably get more clarity on this, where it's at. But look, at this point, I think it's fair to say you have to start thinking about what other options the Marlins are going to have, at the very least in the early part of the season, if not the entire season. Now, again, I don't know the answer as of right now as we're doing this, but I do anticipate knowing soon. I do think we'll know soon.
Yeah, well, regardless of exactly how this plays out, it's got to be so frustrating for everybody involved with the team, because last year, one of the biggest storylines around the entire team was managing his workload and exactly what his innings would be. You got so many questions throughout the year. What's innings going to be? When is he going to get sent down? When is he going to be taking a break? And like, they went through all of that specifically because to try to keep him healthy, to not just for that 2023 season, but for 2024 and beyond. And despite all the information that these teams have about arm health and conditioning, at the end of the day, it just doesn't seem like this stuff is avoidable, is it?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, because last year people in the organization are saying, like, is shutting him down going to correlate to anything in the future? And other people thought, we have to shut him down to protect his future. And that just shows you the uncertainty as to workload and velocity. Maybe that's, something we should be talking about too, is the increase in velocity. All of a sudden, the players are all getting hurt. When I was growing up in the 80s and the 90s, Nolan Ryan threw real hard. Doc Gooden threw real hard, and that was about it. Nobody got hurt. Now all of a sudden, everybody throws real hard. Everybody's hurt. So, look, I think it is frustrating. I think in time, there's a little bit more of a story to be told here that I think maybe will enlighten more people about Yuri Perez and sort of, the last few years of his career and what's been, kind of going on here too, and maybe the reason why there's been a little bit more caution with this. But again, we really at this point don't know the exact outcome of it. But I want to say that from my understanding, just to be clear here, because I'm getting a lot of this, so I'll just say it before you guys even ask, is that I don't think the fingernail had anything to do with the elbow. I don't think that this was correlated overuse, trying to throw different pitches. I really don't believe so. I've asked people that I trust, and I don't think that is to be the case. So this is not something that we should be throwing tomatoes at the Marlins or anything like that. I don't believe that is the case.
Okay, because this did sort of remind me of 2013-14 Jose Fernandez. He was babied in 2013. He started the year on the in the rotation, and then in 2014 he underwent Tommy John surgery as well. And so it just sort of proves that really, babying these young pitchers does not guarantee that they're going to be healthy even just the following year, like in Yuri's case. But as of right now, Craig.
Right. And by the way, listen, we could play revisionist history here if we wanted to. And look, I know that there was a back issue, if I'm not mistaken, for Yuri at the end of last year. But I think they shut him down anyway. Like, they didn't want him to pitch. Well, we could play that now and wonder in Philadelphia, who would have got the ball? Who would have got the ball at that point? We knew that Sandy wasn't going to pitch in the series. What would have happened if Yuri Perez pitched in game two? I was at both of those games. One was over before it started. So, it's just interesting to think about. But again, we'll know very soon. I think it's fair for everyone to, obviously look at some of these other options that they have and start talking about them.
Perfect, because we will talk about some of those options now, and I think you put out a really realistic tweet at what exactly the Marlins could be looking at when it comes to their starting rotation depth, and it's going to be a lot of former relievers, a lot of guys that have not been healthy for much of their career. It's after Luzardo, after Luzardo, it's AJ Puck, Trevor Rogers, Ryan Weathers, and then you really have a battle for the fifth spot, whether it's Brian Hoeing, Max Meyer. Is there any, before we talk about the internal options, is there any chance that they go outside the organization for rotation help?
Yeah, I don't think so. Believe me, I've asked. I am concerned, and by the way, I think there's two different questions to be asked of me. Is my concern about the Marlins winning and losing, and is that relevant to this? Or is my concern the fact that they're just going to run out of guys and not have a lot of innings? I got to tell you, it's the second part of this, because as we go further into the spring without Sandy and potentially without Yuri for a long period of time, and just the way that the offense is constructed with three reliable guys, I think you kind of see where the writing is here. It's I don't know. Are they going to be good? it's kind of hard to say based on everything that happened last year. So for me, it's looking at the players who are out there, why wouldn't they add just somebody to eat some innings to save some of these arms? And I don't know the answer to that. And the only thing that I could think of is they're kind of all right, well, it is what it is. And you hate to think that way, but truth be told, Michael Lorenzen, he's out there, and what would Michael Lorenzen do? His WAR was one or two, so that's a plus one for the Marlins or a plus two. They're just not going to do that, I don't think. But I thought Jake Odorizzi would have been the perfect guy. I know that he would have signed with the Marlins on an NRI, and they could have just parked him in the minors and then, needed him, break glass in case, just call him up. And maybe they're still going to have to do that. I think they will. That's my concern, is you're losing 200 from Sandy, maybe 100 from Yuri. I mean, that's 300 innings that they're trying to replace with AJ Puck and Trevor Rogers. you know, and listen, you guys, again, have been out there a lot more than me. And that, to me, another underreported story that we're going to have to find out here in the next few days is Trevor Rogers. Like, what's going on here? Like, his velocity was way down his last start. He says he's okay. Every guy says they're okay. Like, yeah. I mean that we absolutely have to, and it may go fine for him next time, and then it's much ado about nothing. Could be true. But, boy, isn't his next spring start a really important start, too?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I think all of these guys just have huge question marks. You mentioned Trevor Rogers. His velocity was down. Ryan Weathers, he looked great in the beginning part of sprint, but his last start, he was getting hit pretty hard by the Cardinals. AJ Puck hasn't started in the major league game in a very long time. And then after that, who the hell knows? So
no, we don't know. And the other part of this too, Isaac, and you were at the same table that I was at for this conversation. I mean, if you think back to the conversations that were had during the winter meetings,
yes,
there was not a single person that thought Ryan Weathers was opening up in the rotation, let alone the two or the three to start the season. I mean, come on. I mean, they're already sort of playing with fire here a little bit, and maybe it'll work out and Mel just waves the wand again with another guy and he's good. It's possible. But let's get real here. Like, that was like the sixth or seventh guy to start the season. They may need him to start the second game.
Yeah. Yeah. Another option that, you know, he was already optioned to AAA Jacksonville, third overall pick in 2020, Max Meyer, very confident young man. He probably thinks he's ready. Only has one major league start that I'll give him. He obviously started that game in Pittsburgh, which he left. Is there a scenario where he opens a season in the opening day rotation?
I guess I really haven't heard that he will, but at this point, I don't know how many other places there are to turn. They could be careful with him and start him off in AAA. He's clearly going to be on an innings limit coming off Tommy John. I don't know what that'll be, maybe 100. I mean, he hasn't thrown that much in how many years, I'm not sure. So that would be a guess. They could go that route, but I don't know that they will. And they still have him, I believe, in minor league camp, right? So
yeah.
Your guess is sort of as good as mine. I guess that would be another signal, by the way, to me, if I was like thinking about the season and thinking about being competitive and all that. Like, if Max Meyer is not called upon to make one of the first, you know, two starts 10 games into the season, it kind of tells you,
right,
like a little bit, like, you know, where are we at here? You know, like, I don't know. It's, you know, there's some signs that I watch for throughout, and that would be one of them too, if they choose not to use him right away.
Well, somebody who's not in the rotation mix, but everybody is very excited about Sixto Sanchez. This spring, Sixto, six innings pitched, one hit, zero runs. He's averaging 95 on his fastball. He's topping out at 99. I was there myself to see the most scintillating inning of spring training when he was dotting high 90s on the corners. He's almost certainly going to make this team, and it looks like he's earned it as a reliever. Craig, you have been very skeptical of Sixto during his eternal rehab process. It is one of the unusual journeys that we've ever seen, given how long it took to get back. But are you ready to take the L, as they say? Admit that maybe you wrote him off a little bit too soon.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Like, you know what's really interesting is the fact that, like, so many people want to point out that I'm wrong about this. And yes, like, it's very possible that I am, but, like, I've been so wrong about so many other things, like blatantly awful takes that I've had through the last 5, 10, 20 years, that this seems to be the one that people are really gravitating to, which is fine. Look, I said here that we never had to talk about him ever again. I think that was the direct quote that I said, right? So, you know, and betting against that the last 3 years, I would be right. And finally, for a month, this is the first time that I'd be wrong about this. Look, I'm still skeptical. It has nothing to do with a take or just wanting to be right. I've seen everything you guys have seen. He's now getting out major league hitters. He's now pitching multiple innings. I mean, all systems seem to be go with him making the team. But again, it's an injury that he had that does tend to pop up. I don't know if it will again, but you have to give credit to Sixto, I guess, after 4 years deciding that he wanted to do it. Like, what happened the last 4 years? I don't know. Like, did he really want to? I don't know. So I'm not going to sit here and champion the guy. That I'm not going to do, because they've missed him for several years. But I will say this. Probably 2 years ago, somebody that I was talking to about this in the organization where I was like, come on, like, it's enough already. It's enough already. I'll never forget. They told me he's going to come back. You're going to see. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know how. And the comparison was Caprellian. Remember James Caprellian?
No.
Like he just like disappeared for several years and then all of a sudden like resurfaced and just started pitching again. And I think Astros fans are thinking that with Forrest Whitley too. I think that there's maybe a lesson to be learned that you like never ever completely close the door on anything until the retirement papers are sent in. And I guess that's the lesson here. But I mean, saying that he's been done for 3 years has been accurate. So this is obviously the best development and the most stunning development, I would say, for the Marlins during the spring.
I would agree. You weren't by yourself when you thought that, you know, it was pretty much over for this player.
Completely wrong. But the guys and girls out there, you have to do a better job. Like, I have so many horrible takes that I've had.
Right.
And by the way, I would you believe that when Sixto pitched the first time in the spring, the first time I was there for two of his, somebody just direct messages me like I'm like the worst and like, you know, you were wrong. I'm like, really? Like, wow. Like this is where you want to go. Like everyone wants to hop on Sixto Sanchez. Let me tell you something. If people knew what has gone on the last few years with this guy, I mean, you still would be happy for the guy succeeding, but you would not have this take. I mean, some of this stuff, guys, is very much self-inflicted, the reason why he's not pitching, or he hasn't pitched.
Right. That's fair. Well, today, Craig, we'll shift gears here a little bit. Jazz Chisholm Jr. Made an appearance on the Pivot podcast, and I was really hit with a curveball from this. You looked at the first clip. I was like, whoa, when did he even have time to do this hour-long podcast? So we got to try to get him on for something like this. But the main point of emphasis on his end anyway seemed to be just how the culture has shifted. The quote-unquote team captain that he referred to multiple times, that he didn't wake him up, and that the team captain tried to get him out of there. Does that match your interpretation of the situation?
You know, this is crazy that this has come up like this. And, you know, what happened was, I don't know, somebody, you know, maybe, I don't know, I don't want to take guesses here. Somebody knew that I would be interested in this because the Pivot sent this to me today.
No way.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, huh, what's this? And, you know, I went to school with Fred Taylor. He does the podcast. So I was like, and, you know, Channing, I've known. So I wanted to listen, you know, clearly. And I think when I hit it, like their first run play was going on YouTube. I don't know if it was live at the time. Maybe it was. I don't think so. Maybe it was. No, it couldn't have been. He was playing. So like I caught it like halfway and heard a little bit of that. And I was like, whoa, like this is going to be something that I'm going to have to go back and listen to. But so I posted on social media one of the comments about the sleeping and everything like that. But there's a lot crazier stuff on there than that. Like, if you go back and listen to the whole thing, like, it is, like, the stuff is being said is way worse. So there's a couple of things. As far as, like, interpretation, I've been down this road already, you know? And I think it's pretty obvious to most people that Jazz, in some of the context in the podcast, I don't know about it all, but in some of it, he refers to Miguel Rojas, former shortstop and captain of the Marlins. And I think people will remember back a couple of years ago. One second here. Okay. When all of this happened, that there was like, I mean, he and I, like, we completely fractured, broken relationship over this because of previous podcasts that I did. And, you know, I wanted to make amends and try to work it out. It never ended up happening. We crossed paths since then. And so the last thing that I want to do is like rehash all of that and get into it, because that was like a really tough time. It was for me. I'm sure it was for him too, because nobody wants to be, you know, going after, whether it's media, and I don't ever want to be part of like a story. It just like kind of, you know, ended up happening that way. So I feel bad about the whole situation, but Jazz is an entertainer, and whatever he is going to say, it's going to be to, you know, to get people to watch, to get people to listen. I mean, he talked so much about that in the 1 hour. It was sort of shocking to be rehashed to that degree. Some of the stuff I had heard. Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff I had heard, which is why 2 years ago I talked about that. So it's not a matter of me agreeing or disagreeing, but I could just confirm that, yes, some of that stuff I did hear.
But what about that meeting was the wildest thing you ever heard from a personal and individual standpoint? Because it was like, it was never, like, it was nothing about baseball. Like, it was nothing to do with baseball at all. So, like, that's what made it so wild to me, because, like, we're having a whole team meeting with guys that I don't even talk to off the field.
Some of the stuff I did not hear, which, you know, Jazz said, and, you know, Jazz and I have a great relationship, but I would tell Jazz, I don't believe the first baseman was purposely dropping the ball on balls you threw to him. I just don't think so, man. Like, Jazz, I don't think so. I'm not positive. If you could show me the video of that, I'm with you, man. But that is a little bit far, a little bit crazy for me to believe that was happening, that the errors were made on purpose. But hey, you never know. Maybe it was. Maybe somebody now can produce all those videos to show that. Because to me, that was where, like, the shark was jumped. I was like, whoa, like, this is getting crazy. So, was it entertaining? Did everybody watch it? Are people going to watch it? Yes. Is Jazz a massively fun, entertaining guy? Of course he is. I mean, we're all engaged with everything that he said. I think, like, the first time he ever said something, I was like, are you sure you, I think I tell him, like, are you sure you want to do this? He's like, Craig, you just got to enjoy the ride here. Just, I'm just telling you now, just go with it. Just go along. I'm like, all right, fine. No problem. Then if this is the way, it's going to go, but it's going to get a lot of views. It's going to get a lot of clicks. I don't know if it'll get a response. I guess we'll end up seeing if it does, but it was a crazy, it brought me back to the time a couple of years ago. I think it was June when that happened, and the team meeting, and, you know, me trying to, you know, understand what happened with Miggy and all that. And, you know, definitely not the best memories of my time covering the Marlins, just because it was met with such ferocity at the time. But I hope Jazz got what he wanted out of it. And, you know, some of the things Jazz says are obviously, you know, real, like a lot of it, I'm sure. But I've always learned with Jazz, you know, some things I've learned when to know he's 100% on and when I have to add some percentages against it. Like, you guys have learned that too. Like, every time he's been hurt, he's coming back tomorrow, right? Like, every time, right? And it gets reported, oh, the good news is Jazz says he's feeling fine, he's going to be back in the lineup tomorrow, and he's out for the year. Right? This happened, like, how many times already? So, like examples like that. So there's probably some stuff in there that's like that too, but he was really open and honest. And by the way, stuff about his family members, I don't know if you guys watched the end, all being murdered over the last couple of years. I mean, yeah, there's some heavy, heavy hitting in there too, as well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of it is, like, him not only putting some fault on his veteran teammates, but also kind of admitting himself that he was, he would explain that, like, he wouldn't practice with his teammates. He would only, when he was celebrating, he would only look for his friends and family in the stands, that he didn't really, like, make the effort on his end to be a good teammate as well. Like, I guess the only hope is, as messy as those years were, that now that he is surrounded by, he considers more of his teammates now to be genuine friends of his, that he's seems so appreciative of Skip and his managerial style that even though, like, he's been around a while, as he mentions on the pod, he's still a young guy. He's still just turned 26, that maybe he is finally in a situation where it all actually comes together. He's had some of the accolades. He's been on the video game cover, but I think there is a perception, like, understandably, that he's an overrated player, that he's been getting a lot more attention than his actual production merits. But I guess as long as if he feels he's turned the page on like this rocky episode of his life, what he calls the worst few years of his life, then at least the future might be brighter. At least maybe this is kind of the year where he actually is available and is productive, and all the immaturity of some of the immaturity of his past he kind of leaves behind.
Maybe this was something that he wanted to do, and maybe this was cathartic for him to go off like this. I think some people would think that this wasn't the way to do it, but I mean, a lot of that podcast was discussed, as you said, Eli, about he kept saying like those were the worst 3 years, and you know, I hated everything, and the only thing I wanted to do was play baseball. I used to come to the park, he said, early at 2 o'clock, and no one would see him. Like, look, I can't quantify all these things. Like the story that he told about his sneakers being cut up. I mean, there's no reason to make that up, but I've never heard that. That was the very first time that I had heard that story about somebody cutting a sneaker and putting milk in there. News to me, and haven't asked anybody to verify that either. So again, he is the ultimate entertainer. He's, you know, he is a guy that just wants you to enjoy the show. This does come at the expense of some other people who played with the Marlins. There's no question about that. And so there's going to be sides taken on this, I would guess, too, as far as that is concerned. But what I've learned about sports is that a lot of times we are very critical of athletes and executives for saying nothing. And then here we have a guy that's saying everything. So, right. You know, I think from an entertainment point of view, this was entertaining to hear, but again, there's some very personal shots taken at other people, at, you know, players who played for the Marlins. And I will be curious to see if there's any response from that.
At MPT College Consulting, they pride themselves on helping clients navigate the college application process. This includes preparation for standardized testing, guidance through high school, assistance with essays and applications, and choosing the right college. Their work is always geared toward the specific needs of the individual client as they strive to make this process as stress-free for the family as possible. Visit them at mptcollegeconsulting.com to learn more about their services and schedule a free consultation.
Relationships aside, I'm actually curious to see, you know, which side you guys would be on here, because, you know, one of the sides is, hey, listen, you're not a veteran like those guys that you mentioned, Craig, and if they want you to get your shit together, that's fair. But also, you know what, you guys are teammates, and your teammates should have your back. Your teammate shouldn't let you sleep through a team meeting. So like, there sort of needs to be a balance there. I'm just curious, like, what side do you think you would be on there, Craig, in that situation? Because
Jazz is culpable for a lot of stuff over the last few years. There's no doubt about it. Like, as far as, you know, he said himself, not eating right. He said he was late every day to stuff. I think he said that he was late like all the time. And now he's not, now he said that I'm not late anymore because I want to be there. So that means that he was late all the time, you know? And look, people in the organization tell me this sort of stuff too. So I've heard it. It's not a matter of sides. The only thing that I, you know, go back to, and I hate to do it again, I go back to is I don't know the entire cusp of what happened over the course of years with Jazz. And it seems like if you probably asked him, he would take culpability for some of that. Even some of the talks he said he had with Derek Jeter too, about how Jeter was telling him to do one thing. He's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be my own guy. And he said that, yeah, I wish that I had him now here so he could see who I am now as opposed to who I was then. But the only thing I can go back to was the actual meeting, you know? And that was the one where, like, I asked so many, it was so crazy that day. And I just remember asking so many questions. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, in that spot, getting a unanimous sort of answer as to how that went and the culpability of that, like, I can't, it's not my opinion to have, guys. Like, this is what I was told. And that's why so much trouble was caused with me and with when I went with Peter, and again, with Miggy getting upset, me getting upset. It was just based on things that I was told, and I wasn't there. So I can only go off that. There would be some people, Isaac, that would say, well, you weren't there, so how would you know? But this is like covering sports. Like there's a reason why reporters say source, because you're being told something without actually being there. You're sending a text or a tweet from a garage like me. Like, but again, I can only go based off that. Is that the right thing to do? Is that the wrong thing to do? I don't know, but I sourced it. I sourced that story extraordinarily well at the time. It was not one or two or three or five. When you go that route, you have to make sure you have your bases covered. And so I did at that point, and I learned, I thought I had learned at that point that the meeting in particular was an out of bounds meeting. That's what I heard at the time, which is what I reported. And then things steamrolled from there.
I guess the last thing from that podcast is just to touch on that. He said he had one guy on his side, which is ironically the guy who only spent I think 29 games with them in 2020. And then was eventually dealt in 2021, Starling Marte. I personally didn't even see that they had that close of a relationship, but
They definitely did. But that's not true. Jazz is that's not true. Other guys were very much on his side during that time. That's not. I mean, maybe that was the only guy that he could really talk to privately. I don't know all the relationships, but in terms of like players that would have defended him, he had a lot more than that. Multiple players. I mean, remember, wasn't he at a charity event last year where he said that Berger and Bell was like his best friends? They'd been on the team for like a week, right? Yeah. So you have to take some of this, you know, as entertainment. It's like that movie you watch where it's like, this is inspired by true events, right? Like, it kind of feels a little bit like that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is all exactly how it went down. But I always feel like with Jazz, there's a little bit of that. I always go back to the injuries, you know. Jazz is like... Right. You know, it's like the foot is hanging off the leg. He's like, you know, I'm going to be in there tomorrow. And then, oh, yeah, Jazz says he's going to be in there tomorrow. He's feeling very good. And we can expect to see him tomorrow. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's not happening. He took BP at the All-Star game on the IL. They were trying to find the guy. Like, he took BP. I don't think he was supposed to. And then he, like, disappeared at the All-Star game in LA. And they were looking for him, like, to tell him, hey, like, you can't do that. Like, you can't participate in the physical events at the All-Star, but they couldn't find him. They were asking me, have you seen Jazz? Have you seen Jazz? Like, no, I haven't seen him.
Yeah. Well, by the time most people listen to this, the actual regular season is going to get underway in all the way on the other side of the world, and we're only a week away from the Marlins starting their season. I wanted to get your take, if there's anybody in particular on this Marlins team that you're optimistic could have some kind of breakout or I guess you conclude some kind of huge bounce back compared to last year. Let's exclude Jazz from the conversation. And
okay.
We'll exclude Sixto because I think you've made it clear where you stand. Still, still very wait and see on that situation. Is there anybody else, either you personally or somebody or people that you trust, think could actually have a pretty sizable impact on this team in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a little similar to last year. I don't see Josh Bell getting much better. We have a lot of data on him for years. Jake Berger was amazing when he came over, so I don't know how much better he can be. Tim Anderson, I would guess, has got to be better. So I think that their offense kind of will be similar to what it was last year. De La Cruz gets hot for 2.5 months. The rest of the time, you're like, this guy shouldn't be playing. You know, Jesus Sanchez, as long as he's playing against right-handed pitching, for the most part, will be very, I think, valuable to the team. There'll be some platooning going on, too. So I think in the end, guys, this may go back to exactly what we saw a year ago, which is like Garrett came up and he surprised, like, who will be that pitcher that comes up? Because they seem to have the secret sauce with the pitching. And maybe this doom and gloom outcome of the starting pitching isn't even fair, because all of a sudden we're going to be talking about somebody that we're not now that ends up making 20 starts for them this year. Maybe it's not even Weathers. But people have asked me also in like the fantasy community, like the player that I would want, you know, for the Marlins, that I think it's Andrew Nardi. I really do. I think that is the guy that, you know, stands right next to Scott if something would happen or if Scott would get traded to get saves. He was so incredible for almost all of the season that it just didn't get talked about, and unfortunately gave up that big grand slam in the playoffs. So that's kind of what we remember last. But to me, that is the valuable chip that the Marlins have that I don't think is going anywhere, because he's, you know, serviced, you know, brand new rookie last year. And I think that he'll have a continued impact in the eighth inning. Or, again, if the team doesn't perform and players are traded, which is certainly possible, you never know, I think he could take over as a closer with the Marlins. It was a great draft pick, a great player, and missed a little time last year. But every time, guys, that guy came into the game, a lot of times it was trouble. There was like a guy on, and there was like, and he got out of it like every single time. So I want to see more of him. To me, that would be my reliable breakout sort of star, the starting pitching, I don't know. I mean, at this point, which direction could I go? George Soriano? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to go with.
Yeah, Soriano has had the best spring of any Marlins pitcher, I think. And it doesn't – he last time he pitched in a Grapefruit League game, Eli and I were there, he only threw one inning, and that was before the whole
year. How could they start him? I'm not sure. And then this guy McGaughan, I don't know anything about him. He started, I guess, a couple days ago or whenever that was. And if I'm not mistaken, you guys are going to have to go back this and check, or if it was just something that I heard, but I think that up until recently, Lizardo had said that he was still perfecting himself. I think something I don't know what the quote was exactly. And that was oh my gosh, him not hurt, but doesn't feel ready to go either. And he's starting opening day now. The other day he said he is, so that's good. But really, what are we dealing with here? it seems like a lot. So they'll get Garrett back. I think we're all making too much of that too. He's a nice pitcher. He's a middle of the rotation guy. It's he's being painted as oh, once we get him back, he's the savior. Come on, please, no. Let's get real here. It's going to be a work in progress. Maybe they'll sign someone that I'm not aware of, but I've given the names out already as far as some of them that I think could be an option. And you guys mentioned Hoeing is another one.
Yeah, I think they would love to have had Soriano go more than one inning in that last game, but they didn't know. They were optimistic regarding Yuri, and now they really are kind of shit out of luck. This sort of reminds me of that 2013 spring training where I think it was Henderson Alvarez and Nathan Eovaldi, both of them, last week of spring training, hit the IL, and that's where they had to call up Jose Fernandez to make that opening day rotation.
I remember that.
Last week of spring training, they dropped
Maybe Max Meyer will be that guy. That would definitely send a different message at the start of the baseball season. I would say that if it's not him and it's someone else, I think a different message is sort of sent at that point, which is kind of all right, we're just gonna, kind of go with what we got. By the way, I kind of see it the same way a little bit here. I am a fan of everything that Peter Bendix has done so far, and I really think that there's going to be a bright future with all the hiring that he made, and I do believe in a lot of the concepts. I've talked to him a number of times. He has a way of wanting to do things, and he is going to stick to that plan. There really is not a lot of deviation. I feel like Tim Anderson was a little bit of a deviation just because he looked at the landscape at short and said, we just don't have it, got to have somebody. But beyond that, there are players to sign and start, and he has not signed any of them. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, and if this season sort of does go that way, that route, a lot of guys will wonder, some of them that are on the major league team right now probably won't be there post-July, and a lot of younger guys that have yet to debut will get their opportunities, whether it's a Griffin Conine or whether it's another younger guy. But I'm just curious, Craig, is there a somewhat notable prospect name that you think is going to get his first big league opportunity, like a sort of Dane Myers type of last year, who was going to get his chance to hit or pitch pretty regularly for this team? That they like?
I don't think so. Not that I see. And again, you guys are covering this a lot closer than I am, but I don't particularly see someone who's an everyday player. I would love to see Griffin Conine, of course. I mean, it'd be more than just Griffin Conine playing. It'd be a great story for the Marlins too, but not really. No, I don't see that. I really am surprised they didn't make some sort of trade. I genuinely thought they were going to make a deal this offseason and inject three or four kids into the farm system, and they didn't. And listen, at some point, that's going to have to happen. They really need to rebuild the offensive system.
Right. And Luzardo is set to make his opening day start just 9 days from now. And I guess best case scenario they were hoping for is maybe he has a great first half, and then that's when you try and inject some talent.
Yeah, You know what's funny? I don't think this is going to happen, but it did cross my mind. Several years ago, I looked it up. I don't remember the exact year. The Padres, remember, the Padres once every 5 or 6 years decide that they're going to win the World Series and do everything. And they get rid of everybody the next year. And everyone says the Padres are great, right? It's amazing how that works.
AJ
Preller. So you guys could go back and look. It was early on in the Preller era. The Braves, who were not in as good a position as the Marlins at the time, as the Marlins are now, maybe a few ticks below because they were about to go in a rebuild, but they did have Freddie Freeman, decided to trade Kimbrel the night before the season to the Padres. No. I'm not saying that that's going to happen with the Marlins here, where all of a sudden the Browns are moving to Indianapolis, like in the peak of the night, like in the middle of the night here, but it would not shock me. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think so. But it wouldn't shock me. Like, I would be like, yeah, I get it. Like, I understand. And I know that that's not painting the half full glass of optimism, but without Sandy and Yuri, I don't know. Like, how do you get through a season without those guys? Maybe you guys have a better idea. I don't know how they do.
I don't know either. It's funny that you mentioned Kimbrel, because the Marlins do have a closer, Tanner Scott, who I was pretty confident that they were going to deal at some point. He's 1 year left. He's never going to pitch as well as he did last year, I don't think. He's not off to the greatest start this spring, but maybe they do trade a pretty big asset in Tanner Scott before the season or early on.
Or somebody else, but maybe not, and maybe that's just me thinking like crazy talk. It's very possible. But right. Like if I thought, you know, to pull the shoot here right before the season starts and just be like, all right, we are who we are. I mean, it's not that I want them to do that, but if you're not going to go out and you're not going to get like Montgomery, or you're not going to take a shot with Bauer or something like that, like if you're not going to do those things and you're just going to go with what you got, I got to be honest, I am not confident in just going with what you got in that starting rotation. I am not. I could be now, and people could say, oh my gosh, AJ Puck. First start, five innings, one run, 7 Ks. Second start, 6 innings. Third start, 8 innings. Fourth start, 5. And then all of a sudden he's at his limit from last year. And then every inning he throws from that point forward is more than he had the year before. Like, does anybody consider that? And then Trevor Rogers, like, how many innings is that guy going to throw? Like, where are these innings going to come from in July, in August, in September? Where?
Your guess is as good as mine. Trevor Bauer, is that a name that has ever been discussed within the organization? Any organization?
No, believe me, I've asked a lot. No,
he would pitch for the league minimum.
I think I would do it. I would do it.
You need to do it. Not only what you have.
I would do it.
We're mentioning Brian Hoeing facing the same lineup more than once here in come opening week, I think you have to swallow your pride and
I would do it. I would do it. Trevor Bauer's going to sign with somebody over the next year. He's going to sign with someone. I'm positive. He's going to get a contract with someone. He'll sign a 1-year deal with player bonuses. And I don't know if it's going to work out or not, but you know, you talk about a possible landing spot that's soft where you could sort of like, you know, take a little PR hit for a bit and then, you know, get over it. I think this would be the spot. I do. I don't think there's intense coverage here. And you know the guy gives you innings, and then July comes and his WAR is 4, and what is that guy going to get back in return in a trade if that's the scenario that they go? I think desperate times sometimes call for desperate measures, as they say, and you're talking about a very messy situation in the rotation. So I didn't think that I would be saying that here, but I think I would do it. I think I would pull the trigger on it and park him in AAA. You know, talk to them, say, hey, look, here's the deal. This is our plan. Whether you like, if you like it, great. If not, then it's not for you, but you're in AAA. And we'll tell you when we need you and see what happens. And let it, you know, a few starts, let it play out. Everything looks good. Here we go, 100 innings. And then end of July, if it's done, you know, and everything goes well, I mean, what could you get back for that guy if things go really well? And what could you put back into the organization for a trade for a minor league player? It would be pretty significant for me.
Yeah, and he's pretty stretched out too. He's been pitching, so it wouldn't be a Jordan Montgomery type of thing where they have to start from scratch. No, he's been pitching, so he is kind of ready to go.
Clearly, very complicated with everything that's happened. And I happen to be one of those people that believe that people should get a second chance. I think myself included have made mistakes in life, no doubt about it, and have been given second chances at things. I think everybody at some point deserves it, and I don't think this guy is never going to pitch again. I think he's going to be back at some point. Some team is going to do it, whether you know it's you know Kansas City or Miami or Tampa or one of those teams where it's like, crazy, horrible PR for like a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the guy's pitching every 5 days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Eli, anything left from you, sir?
Like, oh, I would be very shocked if that happens, just because we've seen any guys that are, not any guys, but there just seem to be particular cases of guys either directly or tangentially connected to domestic violence or other crimes where it just seems like there's an unwritten agreement among these major league teams to stay away. The idea that
I don't think there's anything stopping any team from signing him. I don't think so. Eli, your sentiment has been shared with me that MLB has this thing where it's like the secret, you can't sign this guy. I don't believe that to be the case. Just my opinion. I don't believe that. And the guy made horrible mistakes and admitted that he made horrible mistakes. And by the way, could make horrible mistakes again, and the deal, and it could end up looking horribly. But this is, I mean, this we're kind of calling for a desperate situation here, are we not? Like, this is as desperate as it's going to get to open a season with a rotation. Now, the other school of thought is, if you really don't care, and it's just like, all right, we know who we are, we're 70-something wins, it is what it is, then you know what? Then don't do it. But if you really want to fight and you really want to give yourself a shot, then I think this is the kind of flyer that you take in a desperate situation with a Sandy, with a Yuri, with all the other guys. No way. But when you're down this many, I probably would do it. I'd be crushed for it.
And it's not as bad as a Julio Urias situation where it's multiple times, correct?
Well, I don't think Trevor Bauer was arrested for anything, was he?
Right. No, Julio Urias, he's got
arrests. Yeah. No, there's definitely a difference there. But I
agree.
I'm obviously very much against any domestic violence, and I get it. It's just what I don't want to do, guys, is look back 2 years from now and say, you know, look at this guy, he's pitching for this team. You know, they could have just done it and, you know, and made a trade and some other team took the shot. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he never will play again. You know, I don't know.
That's why, because there's a lot of guys, the Aroldis Chapman, Domingo Herman, there's a lot of guys out there that have been connected to these things and have actually been found guilty and there's given second chances. Bauer is an interesting case, a very interesting case, but I'm not. Ozuna is the worst one of them all, and he got slapped with
had an unbelievable year last year with the Braves.
40 home runs for the Braves. They're going to trade him for Garcia.
Sometimes you take a shot. We'll see. I agree with Eli, though. I don't see it happening either.
Right. Well, I think that's it. I guess one last thing I want to touch on really quick. Are Garcia looking good this spring? Avisail is. How short of a leash would they have with this player? Is it going to be another full year at least? Or what are their thoughts? Samson has
no idea. I thought last year would have been the end. I thought there was no scenario that he'd be back again, and here we are. To his credit, he's looked much better the last week or two. Maybe that's bought him a roster spot for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, really, the Rays do tend to grind these guys out. The Rays way is sort of to, if you can't make it, they let you go. So I don't know if Peter Bennick's going to subscribe to that, like over the course of the season, maybe that's where it's at. But if you remember a guy who used to play for the Marlins and was let go by the Rays previous, Corey Dickerson, he was an all-star and the Rays cut him, you know? So I could see that happening, but I do think they're probably going to keep him on the 26 man open the season.
Right. Well, I guess Dane Miles will have to wait his turn at some point. All right, Craig, we really appreciate the time. As always, this is at least, the sixth, seventh time on a Fish on First affiliated show?
Thanks for having me, guys. Keep up the great work. I'm always following. It's just life has really, you know, my daughter's getting ready to go to college. My son is playing very busy travel ball. I'm working 6 days a week on Sports Grid. I try to do as much as I can. Covering the Marlins and doing what I do. And I definitely still very much stay in touch, so I know exactly what's going on with everything. But, you know, when life presents you with some wonderful family opportunities, it's hard for me to, you know, to not take advantage of those. I mean, my daughter's been performing in some incredible plays at the Sunrise Civic Center. She's applying to all these colleges for theater. And my son, you guys see some social media stuff, but I mean, he is such, I mean, we switched teams. We're on a new team this year in Plantation, and he's been like doing like incredible. And it's like, how can I miss that? You know, like I can't not be there for those moments. So it kind of hinders my ability to do as much as I would like to do, but I feel really fortunate to be in the spot that I am.
Yes, I would absolutely agree. Thank you again, Craig, for being generous with your time. That's it for Fish Unfiltered, presented to you by MPT College Consulting. Peace out, and as always, go fish.